Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hear those chains falling. We saw a chain fall off this morning between a mother and a daughter. And I want you to think about that, you know, as I preached this morning, as I shared what God put on my heart. But first of all, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, it is with much respect and admiration that we stand in your presence this morning. It is with much hope and love that we live our lives knowing that we are children of God. Knowing that we've been redeemed. Knowing that we have access to the name of Jesus. All the blessings of the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, this morning for being with different ones. Thank you for the praise report. And I thank you, Lord, for continuing. The next time, Lord God, we're expecting to hear or move something other than a toe. And to be in your presence, Lord. Lord, and it's just so wonderful, Lord. I don't know how you do it. You live in us, and yet there are times when we come together like this, and you're just all over us. But I thank you, Lord God, that you have that power and you're willing to share it with your children. Lord God, I pray for each one this morning that may have been on the prayer list. I thank you, Lord God, that we can count on you, we can trust in you, and if we'll hope, and if we will remember whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We thank you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, especially for your grace. That you reached out to us, and as the Word of God said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that we could become family members. And so that we could be set free. And I pray, Lord God, this morning that the words of life that flow from this book and the things that I share out of a heartfelt trust and obedience to your word, that you will use to break chains and set your children free. In Jesus' name, amen. My message this morning to you is this. Three words. You are free. You are free. I was on my way to Camelsville this week to pick up the kids from school and bring them home. And I had the radio on to K-Love. And was just going down the road. And I don't remember hearing this song before. Maybe I've heard it. But they played a song by the group Mercy Me. And the name of the song was Flawless. And I was listening to it, and I thought, you know, this is a really good song. And even though I thought it was a really good song, it jumped up a notch when they got to the point where it said, the cross has made you flawless. The cross has made you flawless. And you know, the sad thing is there's a lot of people in the church, a lot of people in the kingdom of God, and they are still, just like Laverne was talking about earlier, they're still struggling to be flawless. They're still struggling because they've got this thing in them that they're looking more at what they're doing than who they are. And I'll tell you what, if you get to the realization of who you are, it'll change what you do. It'll change how you act. Somebody, you know, they come and shake hands with the pastor, they join the church, and nothing changes. Something happened. They missed something. Well, I was in a state of grace. As I was driving down the road. And I can tell you where I was. I just pulled up to the stoplight over in front of the Community Trust Bank in Campbellsville. And I'm still listening. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you stand still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I shout hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. And all at once, I just realized what Jesus Christ had done for me. And I had the strongest desire. Not to say, oh, well, your grace saved me, so I'm just going to go out here and live however I live and let the chips fall where they may. Which is, you know, There is a poison being distributed within the church, and it's an anti-grace formula serum. They're so afraid that if you teach them grace, you tell them they can live any way they want to. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of the grace of God, you can live any way you want to, but there'll be a big change in your want to. We're not measured by what we do. We're measured by what Jesus did. Turn to Scripture in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in my word. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is somebody that's training to be just like the person that's training them. Sometimes we don't call them disciples. We might call them a protege or something of that nature. But what they're doing is they're disciplining themselves to become like the person that is their instructor. If you continue in my word, If you abide in my word, if you live in the word of God, I'll tell you what, I don't care whether it's good stories, bad stories, or whatever, you can't live by the newspaper. Mostly, if you live by the newspaper, you'll be pretty depressed most of the time. You can't live by what the world feels like, because the world is still a slave to sin. They think like slaves. They think like sinners. But Jesus said to those who are listening, abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. In other words, this, if you'll take heart to what I'm saying, then you will become like me. You are my disciples indeed. You know, Judas was a disciple. But evidently he didn't continue in his word. He got off track somewhere. In regards to what anybody says, I don't think that Judas turned his back on Jesus. I think Judas was caught up with the money. I think that he thought that Jesus would get himself out of it like he'd seen him do so many times before, and this was just a good way for him to get 30 pieces of silver. I'll get the 30 pieces of silver, and then when they come to arrest Jesus, he'll do some great mighty act and knock them all down, and everything will be wonderful just like it's always been. You know, there were times when they tried to kill Jesus. And it says that he went through the midst of them. It's almost like they were blinded to him, to who he was. God protected him because it wasn't his time. And you know, Jesus didn't die at the hands of the Jews. Jesus died at the hands of sin. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me give you a little example. I was watching Andrew Womack this week. One day, I don't know what day it was. But he was talking about knowledge. And that seems like we kind of been talked about this already this morning with the article Laverne read from Brother Andre Rossi's book. But he was talking about knowledge. And you know, Hosea in the Old Testament said of God's people, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And then goes on to say, because they have rejected knowledge. And Andrew said he was in this meeting and they were having a worship service. And the lights were turned out. And that as they were worshiping God, different ones of them began to turn on the little flashlight in their phone. Like lighting a candle, you know, in the dark. They began to turn on their flashlight that was in the phone. And Andrew said, you know, I didn't know how to do it. I couldn't turn my flashlight on. And he said, I said something to somebody close to him. He said, I can't get this flashlight to come on. I don't know how to turn my flashlight on. Can you show me? Why, sure. And they did the little thing, you know, and on came the flashlight. And this is what Andrew said about it. He said, you know, he said, I'd had that phone for quite a while. And that flashlight didn't just all of a sudden appear on that phone that day when they turned it on. He said that flashlight was on that phone from the time the phone was made. But I didn't know how to turn it on. And the point he was making was this. That God has made you And he's made you in such a way when you accepted Jesus Christ that he made you flawless. He made you complete. And if there are things that you can't get done in the kingdom of God, it's either because you don't know how to or you're not willing to listen. I can turn on my flashlight on my phone, but I had to have somebody tell me. I couldn't even figure out how to bring it up. You know, you look, I didn't even have an app that said flashlight. I got a little thing at the bottom of the page, and if you hit it just right and push it up, this whole page comes up, and there's a phone, and I mean, there's a flashlight and a sound volume and a whole bunch of other stuff. But I didn't know about that. I had to learn about it. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed or in truth or rightfully. You're not just following me to eat the bread that I and the fish. You're not just following me to see if you get a chance to see me walk on water. You're not just following me to see if you're there when I raise somebody from the dead. You're following me because you want to learn about me and you want to know what I am and you want to know what you are and you want to know what I made you. And you shall know. You shall know. That means to perceive, understand, recognize, gain knowledge. To realize, to come to know. Gnosko is the knowledge that has an inception, a progress, and an attainment. It is the recognition of truth by personal experience. In the Word of God, you know. There's a lot of people know what the Word of God says. I had a pastor, we were talking one time, it's been years ago, and he's a good man. We were talking about the Word of God and believing the Word of God. He said, I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm sure that with his head, he was saying, this is the Word of God. I believe it's the Word of God. God gave it to us. And yet there was a lot of stuff in the Word of God that this man didn't believe. He didn't believe in miracles. He didn't believe in healing. He didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if he did think maybe there was something to it, he was skeptical about it. Let's read on a little further. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. Now, if you read the bulletin this morning, the part that I put in there, when they said, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Well, Isaiah's offspring was in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. And then when they got so far from God after the reign of Solomon, they ended up in Babylon for 70 years as slaves. In bondage. We've never been in bondage to anyone. And then even at the time right then when they were talking to Jesus and Jesus talking to them, they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was such a ruler over them that they finally actually destroyed the city of Jerusalem and plowed the ground up and salted it. And then scattered the Jews throughout the Gentile world. Yet they'd never been in bondage to anyone. A lot of people in bondage don't know they're in bondage. There's people out here that are drinking, not because it's fun, but because they're in bondage to it. But they think it's fun. There's people out here on drugs, not because there's a positive effect from being on them, but because they're in bondage to them. You know, it looks like, I mean, there's some people that they just seem like they're almost addicted to sin. You know, when sin shows up, they have to get a finger in it. They don't know. And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you." And he didn't talk about the Egyptians, and he didn't talk about the Babylonians, and he didn't talk about the Romans. "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And do you know that all of us, every single person that's ever been born on this planet, has been born into slavery? They've been born as a slave to sin, to do its bidding, to carry out its orders. And he said, it's only temporary, it won't last forever, something's going to happen, you don't abide in there forever, sin will kill you. Like I said in the bulletin, sin will take you places you don't want to go, cause you to do things you don't want to do, and keep you longer than you want to stay. All of the stuff that the world says, oh, try this, man, it's good. Boy, I had the best feeling. And when it's all over, they're a slave. They're a slave. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Wow. Now, I want you to listen to what Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It was in verse 32. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, let me give you a little definition here. It's interesting that Jesus said here in John chapter 8 that the truth will make you free, and if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. It's not the word set. It's the word make. Now listen to this. Now there's several definitions when you get to look in the dictionary about the word make. But this is one of them. Make means to take a substance and change it into something else totally different from what it was to begin with. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And listen to that. There, if the Son takes what you are and turns it into something that is not like that at all, you shall be free. Wow. You know, you take a piece of coal. If you put enough pressure on it, you know what it becomes? A diamond. There's one coming after me. He's mightier than I am. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. But he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. A fire is not to make you suffer. The fire is not to make you groan and moan and say, oh, no. The fire is to change your coal into a diamond. Carbon-based. The most precious stone on this planet is carbon-based. What else is carbon-based? You are. I am. Carbon is the base of life as it exists on this planet. That's why the astronomers and NASA and everybody, they get excited if they find a place out in space that seems to be giving off an aura that says, there's some carbon here. Because life as we know it cannot exist without carbon. Now, you get too much carbon dioxide, and what happens to you? If you get carbon monoxide, what happens to you? You're dead. It kills you. And you know, Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. And you know what salt's made out of? Salt is made out of sodium and chloride. Or chlorine. And the interesting thing about that is if you take salt and turn it back to its original components, separate it, make it sodium and chlorine, you get locked up with that, you're dead in a matter of minutes. But yet we use salt every day to make things taste better. It's a marvelous world. So don't be so set that God can't deal with you and change you from what you are to what you need to be. But what I want you to know is this. You don't have to be set free. The cross set you free. What are you going to do to be free? What are you going to do to be flawless? What could you take out of your life to be flawless? Just imagine that God looks at you and He sees flawless. You're giving your heart to Jesus Christ. He's come alive in you. The Spirit of God is in you now. The Spirit of God has changed you from carbon to diamond. Also in Romans 8, it says this. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how does your mind get renewed? You go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning, and the rest has renewed your mind? You work all day and you labor all day. When you get done at the end of the day, has it done anything to your mind other than made it tired? Certainly hasn't renewed it. The only way you can get your mind renewed is by the Word of God. By being His disciple indeed. If you're my disciple indeed, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you a diamond. It'll make you flawless. God says, that's the way I see the blood of Jesus. That's why I've broken every chain. You can break every chain on you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Has set me free. Set. Okay, now, we talk about what made is, taking a substance, changing it completely into something different. Set. One of the definitions in the dictionary of set is this: proper, useful, working condition. Proper, useful, and working. When God sets you free, it puts you in a place where you prosper, you're useful, and you're working. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now some people take that and they preach, now your good works will get you like Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, they won't. And the reason so many people struggle is because that's what they believe. They believe they've got to change their works and to make them perfect before God will accept them. And they'll keep trying. And no matter how many lists they fill, somebody turns around and hands them another one. And I'm going to tell you something. If you let that get too strong a hold on you, where you got to work to please God. You got to work to make Him love you. You get that too bad, and you might look at yourself from times past and think of experience. You spend a lot of time hiding from God. You know, we're going along, we're doing fine, we fall down. Devil says, is that the best you can do? Well, if that's the best you can do, I'd quit even trying. You just need to go over and crawl on that bench and get out of sight. That's not God talking to you. That's the devil. Here, take my hand, I'll help you up. It's God talking to you. That's Jesus. Wow, think about it. That you've been changed from the original substance to a brand new substance, like a diamond is totally different from a piece of coal. You know, somebody come to you and said, I got a pound of coal out here I want to give you. You want it? No, what do I do with it? Jesus looked down at us, and every person he saw a pound of coal. He said, now I'm going to do something for them. I'm going to make it possible for that coal to turn into diamonds. Amen. And the thing about it is, I'm the one that's going to do it. I remember watching the old Superman used to come on TV back in the 50s. 60s, whenever it was, George Reeves played Superman. And I can remember in one episode, they had made that point, you know, put it under 1,000 pounds of pressure for 1,000,000 years, and a piece of coal become a diamond. And there was this diamond, and it had gotten lost. It fell into quicksand. And so Superman was there, and he was going to help them, and there was a piece of coal in over there. So he took that piece of coal without them seeing it and put it in his hand, stuck his hand down into the quicksand, and squeezed it. And he said, oh, I found it. And he pulled it out, and there was a diamond. Now, that was Superman. He changed a piece of coal into a diamond, with one squeeze. Now, if Superman could do that, what can God do? You may go into God's hand as a piece of coal, but when he opens it up, it's going to be a diamond. That's an awesome thought, folks. I'm telling you, it'll keep you from struggling. When I was talking about that song and about all that, I had so much of a concept of God loving me without being anything to do with what I was. And you know, we spend too much time thinking about what we're doing and not enough time of thinking about who we are.
Amen.
Child of God, a son of God, not a slave anymore. We've gone from a slave of sin to a son of God. In one instance, in one thing. That was the cross. Jesus just didn't die for you to be able to go to heaven someday. Jesus died so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And the only way you get that life and get it abundantly is to walk in the Word of God, to live by the Word of God. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It doesn't say he's rebuilt. God doesn't make you like a 1929 Ford that somebody restored in 1978. The car is basically the same. When you restore something, you just take what you got and you make it back like it's supposed to be. But when something is new, it's new. It's not there. It's not been there before. A carbon is a diamond now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. That means something that has not been before. You got to start seeing yourself as a child of God. You got to start seeing yourself as new, as different, as free. Things that he's already done. Already done.
Brother Jerry, you talk about the song Flawless. There's another song out there called Diamonds by Hawk Nelson.
Hawk Nelson.
He talks about making diamonds out of us, diamonds out of dust.
Yeah.
Things like God changes us.
And you don't have to sit around, whoa, I wish God would do something. I wish God would change me. Now, you got to start changing the way you think, you got to start changing the way you see things. You've got to start understanding that the Word of God is the Word of God. Therefore, if the Son sets him free or makes you free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. You are not trying to earn your freedom. You are not trying to work your way to freedom. All you are not doing is you're just not seeing yourself free. You don't believe you're free. Start believing you're free. Start believing you're new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things. All things. Shauna, all things have passed away. They're not there anymore. Behold, all things are made new. And I'll tell you what, nothing's beyond God making it new. All he got to do is just put his hand on it. Just put his hand on it. But we got to be willing to let him, and we got to be willing to believe that he does when he does. From a slave of sin to a son of God. I was watching a movie, I think it was Shenandoah. It's story of Jimmy Stewart stars in it. He's got a bunch of sons and a daughter, and they got a big farm down in South somewhere. Several hundred acres, him and his boys do it. They don't have any slaves. Even though they're in the slave territory, they don't have any slaves. But the youngest boy in the family, he had a boy that was slave from a slave family on one of the plantations around him, and that way they were real good friends. And they just, well, they got word that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed, that the war was going bad for the South. And that little boy was over there at the house visiting his little friend. And I don't remember the exact conversation, but something came up and the little boy said to Jimmy Stewart, "The slaves have been free." He said, "What do I do now?" What do I do now? They had been set free. And Jimmy Stewart said, pointed to the road leading up to the house, and he said, "You go right down that road, and you keep going." And the little boy said, "Where?" He said, "Any place you want to go, as far as you want to go, because you're free." And he was barefoot, and he started down the road, and the further the more he was going, he just kind of started at a walk, and then a little faster walk, and then finally he was just running down the road. Why? Because he knew he was free, but he didn't know what to do. And so he asked him and he told him. Now, if you're free, if you're a child of God, you're free. As I look around, I think everybody in here this morning is, you're a child of God, you're free. And now maybe the question is, okay, I'm free, what do I do now? Ask somebody if you have to. Listen to what the pastor says. Listen to what the preacher says. Listen to what the Word of God says. And grow in it. And I'll tell you one thing. You might think it's wonderful to be here on Sunday morning and hear the Word of God, but I'm telling you, that one shot a week won't get you set. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to believe that the Word of God is important enough that you commit your life to it. There's things that I can't do that other Christians have done because the Word of God doesn't say that. There's not a gay person anywhere that I have anything against. But their gay lifestyle is wrong, according to the Bible. And to say, well, nah, you know, it's just times are different, things have changed. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. Amen. And I don't have the attitude, take them up an airplane and shove them out. Just if they come out of the closet, shoot them. Tell them God loves them. And you think, blah, how could God love them living like that? God loved you and you're living like something. You might not have been gay, but you might have been a thief. You might have been an adulterer. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you've never, ever in your life told a lie, I don't think there's a hand in here that could go up. But you are free. But until you understand that, you will not walk. You will not do what you were made to do. You will not be what you were made to be in your mind. You'll never see yourself as a diamond. You'll always see yourself as a piece of coal. You've got to change the way you think. Yep. It's just like I've asked the question, and I'm going to close with this. You can ask Christians. And I would hope that anybody that's been in New Life for any length of time at all would know how to answer this question. If you ask them, are you righteous? I can promise you that the answer you'll get more than anything else is, well, no, but I'm trying to be. Well, what are you doing to become righteous? How can you make yourself righteous when Jesus said all of your works are as filthy rags? The only way you can be righteous is to believe you're righteous. So now if somebody from here goes out there and somebody says, are you righteous? You better say yes. Yes, I'm righteous. Well, do you do everything right? No, but I'm righteous. I know people that don't believe that they are righteous, but they quote the scripture, I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And, you know, God's going to take care of us. You know, we're believers. No, it says righteous. So you either are righteous or you're not righteous. If you're not righteous, don't expect Him to supply your needs. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I know I've tried to share that message this morning, and I don't feel, and I tell you, don't go by your feelings. But as much as I've said and as much as I've told you, it is such an awesome thing to know that you are free that I don't believe that I was able to communicate it like it could have been this morning. And I don't know anybody that could have done a better job, but might be some out there. But what if, you know, you are free. You either believe it or not. And then when you start believing that, you start changing. You've been made free. You've been created to be free. What you are now is a free person. And you need to continue as a free person. And you need to realize you've been set free for the purpose. And you have been put in working condition. So hang on to that.
What I want to share that right now, as you, in closing, is there are a lot of prayer requests. I know there are, but I was just made aware this morning. Gail's not here today. Her mom, she's in the hospital, Taylor County. She broke her hip, and she had some.
Hill.
For her, yeah, and she's was already dealing with some physical issues, and Gail's had to go in early in the mornings, and so we need to lift her up in prayer. Also, be praying for Keisha Skaggs. Both of her grandparents in the last few days have had heart attacks. And keep them in your prayers. I think they were getting ready to put Mr. Harvey in the nursing home up here. I don't know, possibly they're going to try to keep Mr. Burris at home, but I don't know if they're going to be able to or not. Also, Victoria Gross is up here in rehab at Summit Manor. She's going to be there about 3 weeks. I just want you to know what's going on. Get a card to them. Pray for them. If you want to run by and see them, it's always encouraging for somebody to come up that to do that.
Let's stand. Bow our heads, close our eyes. Think about this. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My chains are gone. I've been set free. He broke every chain, broke every chain. 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 I want you to see that. I want you to see that for yourself. When you realize that you've been set free, it opens the door to anywhere you want to go. When you really realize that Jesus Christ is all you need, isn't the name of Jesus all we need? He breaks every chain, breaks every chain, breaks every chain. Heavenly Father, I lift up everyone in here this morning. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for that touch in our lives, that point where you changed us from a piece of coal into a diamond. And I thank you, Lord God, that you give us the power and the strength to walk that walk, to live that life. Not because we've put forth an effort, but because we've believed. We've trusted you in who we are. And we've given you the glory for it. And I ask you to be with your people this week. Let them always remember, I am free. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free, for making us free, for doing the finished job. And we can add nothing to it. Except to believe. And we thank you, Father. Amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful week. We'll see you at the lake next week.